Family, this is Pastor Elson. This morning's message we entitled Emma. As if you have received the bulletin, you have noticed that the E is gray, but the M is very alive, and the A is not as alive. Let me explain to you what Emma is. Emma, it comes from Genesis 3:20, the scripture that Brother Marcus just read. It says that the man called his wife Eve, which means life or living, because she was the M of all living, because she was the Emma of all living. M means mother, means water. And that's why we decide to entitle our message today, The M of Life, the water, the fount of life. In Jewish and Christian religion, Emma has always been a symbol of the beginnings of all creation. The Bible does say, in account of its creation, that Adama, which is the word for earth, was born also out of water. And then it tells us when the man's wife, in this case, she was not called Eve yet, was about to give birth to her first child. So Adam was helping her, and when he sees the water break, he comes with this expression, "All water, the mother of all life." Yes, we all know how important water is for our own lives. We can stay without food for many days, but water is essential for us to live. Water is essential to every living creature in the world. 2/3 of our own body is made of water. 2/3 of the earth is of water. Therefore, water is vital. It has been with the beginning with us, and forever water will be part of our existence. So how appropriate that Emma is a symbol of a mother. And all mothers around the world has the name Emma as part of their existence. In Hebrew, the 13th letter of the alphabet is M. Yes, just the way it sounds, just an M. And that until this day, 6,000 years later, it is still the formal way to address a mother in Israel and around the world where Hebrew is spoken. M stands for mother. As we have done a research around the world, most languages, the name mother starts with M. And that means it starts with water, because water is the source of all life. How to say mom in Hebrew? Not mother, but mom is also Emma. Today, Israelis call their mothers Ima. And when they want to say my mom, they say Ima Shelley. Or they can say also Happy Mother's Day in Hebrew, Yom Ha'em. In the fifth commandment, it talks about how we should respect, honor our father and our mothers. But I found a text in the Bible that changed a little bit. It puts mother first. If you want to know where it is, open your Bibles in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. If you open your Bibles in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, you'll find that this text here, Moses is talking about the commandment, but in this time, he puts the mother first. He says, each of you must show great respect for your mother. Literally, what he was saying, he says, each of you must show respect for the water where you came from, the source where you came from, the one who gave you life, the mother. And then he had the father. It is very important to us as we start this message today, to ask a very key question. What is a mother, anyway? If you ask this question to many different individuals, some people may have a different answer. For example, for some, motherhood is an accident, unfortunately, an inconvenience, a burden to some. But for some, mother is not possible biologically, but there is in the heart of the woman a desire so great to be a mother that they will resort to adoption as an option, but nothing will deny them from becoming a mother. For some, the word mother isn't all that nice. For some, motherhood is a collection of wonderful memories that cannot be replaced by anything and cannot be purchased. For some, motherhood is the greatest of all giving tasks assigned to a blessed human being. And finally, for some, mother is the closest image of God that a child will ever have. Today is the typical Adventist Mother's Day. And before I go any further, I'd like to call attention that at this moment in our service, there's two mothers. And they are very unique in some ways. Because one, as we were told today, is going to have a baby boy. She's one of our youngest mothers in our church. And then there is another one that just last month on the 27th, she became 94 years old. And she is anxious to reach that 100 as a goal. So those two mothers that we have in our denomination, in our service today, and to all the other mothers, I like to say, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Emma's Day. Today is the Adventist time for us to celebrate our mothers. But tomorrow, the typical Mother's Day, where everyone else will be invited to celebrate their mothers. So, as a Seventh-day Adventist, you can be celebrated today and tomorrow. So you receive two celebrations. It shouldn't be celebrated every single day of the year. But unfortunately, they separate only one day. This is a celebration that was created to make us think about our mothers. We are glad that we have such a day. We hope and pray that what we have to say today as part of this message can help our mothers and our young girls, ladies, that will become the future mothers, to be godly mothers. Every one of us have a mother or had a mother. Today, we should think about her. We should thank God for manifesting among ourselves to a mother. George Washington, the father of this nation, said once, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." It was Abraham Lincoln, another very important individual in the formation of our nation. As he said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." A mother's love is unconditional and only grows stronger over a lifetime. I have some quotes here that I'd like to share with you. And if I do not mention the credit, it's because it's unknown. Number one, a mother is your first friend, your best friend, your forever friend. Number second, mother is a verb. It is something you do, not just who you are. Dorothy Fisher said that. Moms are the people who knows us the best and loves us the most. Life doesn't come with a manual. I like this one. Life doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a mother who put all the pieces together. A mother is the only person on earth who can divide her love among 10 children, and yet each child is still have all her love. That is a math that doesn't make any sense, but in a mother's world, it does. A mother is a person who can replace everyone else, but whose place no one else can replace. That's beautiful. To the world, you are a mother, a Emma, but to your family, you are the world. Daughters have a very special bond with their mothers. And those who choose to become mothers pass on that love to their children, their own children. From life lessons to advice, moms are there for all it all. Here are some mom's quotes from daughters to reflect on her own relationship with their mothers. Again, if I do not mention the credit, is because it's unknown. There is nothing as powerful as mother's love, and nothing as healing as a child's mind. No matter your age, you will always need your mom. And from Ezekiel 16, verse 44, part of it, we read, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Many years ago, when I was very young, I heard this, someone sent this to me. I says, if you want to know who she's going to be, get to know her mother, and she will be just like her. You have my whole heart for my whole life. A strong woman always raises a strong woman. A mother and daughter's love is never separated. Deola Shipman said that. Now, here is what a mother will say to her child. I love you before I knew you. All the things my hands have held, the best by far, it's you, my child. I will hold your little hand for a short while, but your heart forever. I am proud of many things in life, but nothing beats being your mom. I gave you life, but really, you gave me mine. Let me love you a little more before you are not little anymore. Just when you think you know love, something little comes along and reminds you just how big it is. You change everything in me, and yet I became exactly what I always want to be. Now, here's a list of 10 things that I believe no mother will ever say to her child. Here are 10 things that I believe no mom will never say to her child. Number one, how on earth can you see the TV sitting so far in the back? Get close to the TV. Number two, just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look happier. Number three, let me smell that shirt. Oh yeah, it is good for another month. Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed it, to wash it, and to walk him every day. Well, if your friend's mom said it's okay, that is good enough for me. Another one, number six, it says, the curfew is just a general time to shoot for. It is not like I am running a prison around here. Number seven, I don't have a tissue with me. If you want to clean your runny nose, why don't you just use your sleeve? Number eight, don't wash your hands. Please help us to save water. Number nine, don't bother doing with your homework. You are such a smart kid. You'll be okay. And finally, number 10, don't clean your room. Your mess is a masterpiece. It makes it very unique. I know that every mother can add to this list many more, but this just is just a few for you to understand the mind of a mother. A concern for the Mother Earth has become a very popular political issue for many young people around the world. Everybody heard about Greta. One poor little girl that every time somebody gets a picture of her, she looks like she's angry, very angry. It catch on fire, this concept. Everybody was talking about the Mother Earth. Even the Bishop of Rome got involved in it. And he decided to invite all the world leaders to come to Rome to discuss strategies or plans. How should we help the Mother Earth? What is amazing is that everybody wants to save Mother Earth. But when asked, nobody seems to have time to help moms do the dishes. A mother is a vital in the development of every child. Mr. Winston Churchill said once about his mother, my greatest teacher was my mother. My mother always seemed to me like a fairy princess, a radiant being possessed of limitless riches and power. She shone for me like an evening star. I love her dearly. Genesee Young Brooks, an American author writer, she said this about mothers. She says, there is no way to be a perfect mother, but there is a million ways to be a good one. A mother molds her child's thoughts and shapes her child's character in the first wonderful 3 years of that child's life. It's an awesome responsibility. A mother wrote a book entitled The Adventist Home. Her name, Ellen G. White. She said in this book, in a page of 231, the world needs mothers who are mothers not merely in the name, but every sense of the word. That woman realized the sacredness of her work, and in the strength and fear of God, take up her life mission. Let her educate her children for usefulness in this world and for a home in a better world. Continue. She said, the mother is a queen of her household. She has in her power the molding of her children's characters, that they may be fitted for the higher immortal life. An angel could not ask for a higher mission. For in doing this work, she is doing service for God. Let her only realize the high character of her task and In it will inspire her with courage. Let her realize the worth of her work and put on the whole armor of God, that she may resist the temptation to conform to the world's standard. Her work is for time. Her work is for eternity. In a page 233 of the same book, this mother wrote, "The mother has been dealing with developing minds and character, working not only for the time, but for eternity." And finally, in a page 234, she concludes, talking about the children, she said, "To Jesus is not all that is required. These children are to be educated and trained to become disciples of Christ, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be a cornerstone, as cornerstones polished after the similitude of palace. This work of molding, refining, and polishing is the mother's. The character of a child is to be developed. The mother must engrave upon the tablet of their hearts the lessons of endurance as eternity. The Christian mother has her God-appointed work, which she will not neglect if she is closely connected with God and inspired by the Holy Spirit. For every woman, there are some wonderful advice in the Bible. I decide to bring to you Proverbs 31, verse 30. It calls attention to something as the world spends a lot of time today around themselves. It says, "Remember, women, future mothers and mothers, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who reveres the Lord will be praised, not only in this life, but forever." A biblical story, a very inspiring story, is the story that I select from the Bible to share with you today. This biblical story is about a lady called Hannah and about her son Samuel. It is a fascinating story. It is a story that has been used as an inspiration for over 2,500 years. It never gets old. It's always inspiring. It's always have extra lessons. Every mother should read the example of Hannah. Many sermons have been preached. Sermons will be preached until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Because this story is about this woman of God. It's about her faith. It's about her strong desire to be a mother. It's about her sacrifice. It's about her gift. It's about her power. It's about her ability to know why God chose her to be a woman. She lived in a very wicked time in Israel's history. You find, if you open your Bibles, please, in 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you open your Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm going to be reading first verse 10 and verse 11, which says, "Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord." Remember, she was in church. "And she made this vow, O Lord of hosts, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire life. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." Notice also 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "Oh, no, sir," that she is talking to the priest, because the priest came and saw her talking and saw her praying, and he thought that she was drunk or something, was she was out of her mind. It looks like she was having a moment there. So he comes and says, what is going on? And she said, oh, no, I have not been drinking, but I am very discouraged. And I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, mothers, Emmas, she poured out her heart in prayer for a son. Now, some of you may ask, why a son? Why not just, if she wants to be a mother, could be a girl also, why a son? If we keep reading the story, we realize why a son. Because she have never intended to keep. Here's one powerful lesson to all of us. Motherhood is not about keeping. It's about giving. That's why a mother is so close to the image of God that any other human being can reflect. Because it's about giving. She asked for something that she couldn't give back. She had planned, even before she went before the Lord, she has all planned in her mind. I want to ask God for something that I can give back to him. But not only she wants to give it back to him, but she didn't want to just turn the son to him. She wanted to prepare him so he would stay in God's presence forever. She wants to give something back to God that will always be God's child. And God answered her prayers. And gave her a son, just like she asked, because God also knew her heart. And she named him Samuel, which means asked of God. Mothers, every single child that you have given birth to should be a child that you ask of God. Hannah said in verse 27 of chapter 1, for Samuel, for this child, this one, I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. Now, many years later, you will notice that Samuel himself started writing this story. So the first few years that Hannah has this child that was with him, the first few years, she told him, over and over and over again, I ask God for you. You are a miracle. You are a child of God. You are a gift from God, and I'm going to give you back to him. Can you imagine, mothers, if you talk to your children that way? If you make them feel like they are not like everybody else. They are a gift from God, a gift that must be returned to him because you prayed for your child. And that's why God have heard you and made you a mother, turning you into an Emma, a God's mother. Godly mother's prayers are precious before the Lord. The Lord has answered them over again and again and again. When the very people that they prayed for has to be converted, God does listen to prayers. Hannah poured out her heart before the Lord. She didn't just say, oh, Lord, take care of my child and move on. No, she poured her heart before the Lord. She loved her child. And she asked for that child. Even before the child was born, she already had love for her child. And he gave her everything she asked for. And that was a little son, a little boy. Mothers, pray for the salvation of your children. Pour out your heart in prayer every day. As your child leaves home to go to school, to go anywhere, make sure that your child is always in God's hands. As Hannah did, all of us should pour out our hearts for the salvation of our young people, for our children in our church. Please pray for them. Mention their name. Bring their names before God in your private prayers. Now, when Samuel was still very young, the Bible says, she took him to the temple. I remember when I was 8 years old, I mentioned this story before, when my cousin took me to her orphanage. It is so painful to feel abandoned. I wonder what Samuel felt at that moment when his beloved mother, that he spent so much time with him, teach him, and that she has to walk away and leave him at the church. We remember the story of Mary when Jesus was 12, that she went to Jerusalem, and for 3 days she couldn't find Jesus, and how they had to come back, travel back to find Jesus. In this case, Hannah brought her child, her beloved child, her gift, and laid down that gift on God's church. This is a lesson for all of us, brothers and sisters, that God has told us clearly that everything that we receive, we must return to him, because it's when we return to him that we keep it forever. And Hannah understood this, and so she kept her promise. She left him there with an old priest called Eli, as she has promised to do, but she left a little, you know, linen clothing that she made for him. He was supposed to be looked like a little priest from his young age. Everything was prepared by this mother to teach this child that this child was unique, was a gift from God, was special from the day, even before he was born. In early days in our country, every Christian mother used to pray like Hannah for a son to become a preacher, to become a pastor. No wonder there were so many preachers in America in those days. Yes, it's not the same anymore. Every mother should pray constantly for her children to become a good biblical Christian. Now, let's look at chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, verse 1. It says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. Why? Because there was a lot of corruption in Israel. The times were very bad. People were very distant from the Lord. So that's why there were not too many messages from the Lord and not too many visions, because the people were not seeking the Lord. Even in church, there were some nasty kids in church. Yeah, that's what the story tells us. The sons of Eli, if you read chapter 2, verse 12 of 1 Samuel, it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Let me paraphrase this for you in a New Testament kind of a language. It says, now the sons of Eli were sons of the devil. They have no idea who God was, and they didn't care. Yet, they were in church every day. They were part of the church service. And they went on doing their bad things until that cost their own lives. There are many parents today who send their children to an Adventist school. And I agree, you should. You should make all sacrifice to give Adventist Christian education to your children. But there is a warning that I would like to give to you. If you feel very comfortable just because you take your children to a church, or you take your children to an Adventist school, if you think that that will replace the need for your own spirituality, for your own teaching to your personal time with your child, you are very mistaken. Your child may be in the right school, being taught by the right teachers, being in the right church. But that does not replace you, mom, your mother. A godly mother needs to be present in the life of a child every day. And your unique opportunity to bring God to your child's heart should not be delivered, should not be assigned to anybody else by you. I know by experience that in many churches, as well in our schools, there are young people who are as bad as the sons of Eli. When I was 15 years old, I was sent to an Adventist boarding school. That school was wonderful. Yes, was wonderful. They had worship in the morning. They had worship in the evening. They have prayers in every class that we attend. They have a Bible class every day. We have during the week worship service. We have on the Sabbath worship in the morning and afternoon. And when we have a free time, there was a loudspeaker on the boys' dorm that play music, heavily music, every afternoon into the sunset. King Harold's and all Del Decker, all those songs, those old inspiring songs. I was taken to that school. In the beginning, I resist a little bit that all that religion. But eventually, it got deep on my heart. There were people that offered me, even then, even though it looks like it was a place like heaven, was so isolated, there was no houses around. It were just way back, no close to civilization. And yet, even there were some kind of Eli type of kids. Some came offer me cigarettes. Some offer me other drugs. Thank God I said no to those things. And one day, one person offered me a Bible. And thank God I said yes. And that's why I am here today. I know there are mothers there that are listening to children. They are listening to this. They have children that are struggling with a bad influence from other people. And bad influence can be found everywhere, even inside of the church. So mothers, godly Emmas, please be aware that you needed to be looking your children like a hawk. Watch your children every single day. Don't get tired of looking after them. Because as they go through this vulnerable time in their lives when they are still children, they can be influenced in one way or the other. But if you spend time with them, a godly time, just like Hannah, you spend time with Samuel, then you'll be able to say like Hannah, he will be always your child. He will be always with you. He will never leave your presence. You see how confident she was? She was not confident because she didn't realize that her son will have a mind of his own, but because she had an opportunity to train him, to teach him, to put those values inside of his heart when he was still little. And when the temptations came, because Samuel had his temptations, oh yes. Even the Bible says, even Jesus had his temptations. All of us have temptations. But as it talks about Jesus, says, in nothing he fell. Samuel was always, until the day he died, he was always a God's child because his mother was a godly mother. Everyone needs a mother that has faith like Hannah. Little Samuels or little Hannahs are not a product of chance or accident, but they reflect godly mothers who love God and their children more than themselves. The rebellious sons of Eli did not repent and did not seek the Lord, even when they were rebuked by their father. We do not know what make them turn to be such a bad kids. But we pray for our mothers today, that our mothers will have the courage not to be so inclined to become the buddies of their children, but to become a real mother. You have the time to be friends with your child, but remember, your first priority is to be a godly mother. And the child of Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. 1 Samuel 2:26. Samuel was disliked by the sons of Eli. They must have made fun of him for being a godly boy. That's what children's kids sometimes do. But even in the darkness of the night, as God calls Samuel, God is calling your child also and calling you mothers to teach your child how to be a godly boy, a godly child. The Bible says Samuel did not yet knew the Lord. Yes, he knew of the Lord, but did not have a personal experience with the Lord. But then the Lord came to talk to him, because Samuel was God's gift. So God came to talk to him. And the Lord appeared again at the church. But the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at the church by the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel 3:21. Emma's mothers, God wants to talk to your child today. Would you allow God to talk to your child? Or you may be saying, oh, my child is too young to be baptized. My child is too young to be too religious. I don't know. I, as a pastor, have heard so many excuses why children are not being taught more about God. Some people even say, oh, when he's older, he will make up his own mind. God needs your consecrated lips, dear mother, to bring to your child's heart his wonderful words of eternal life. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, we find in a common English Bible, train children in the way they should go. When they grow old, they will not be a headache for you. Oh, I'm sorry, that doesn't know what it says. It says, they won't depart from it. Train your children. Spend time now so you can rest later. Because if you rest now, you have to work hard later. And there'll be no hope later. I told you a story before about a mother that I was invited to come to her home to teach about the Bible to her husband, and to her children. I used to come to their house every Tuesday. I'll come in the afternoon, I'll knock on the door, and they will open the door, I'll come, and I have a lesson for the children first, and then I have a lesson to adults, and we be studying the Bible. One day afternoon, I came, I knocked the door, and no answer. But I don't know if it's a blessing or sometimes I believe it's sometimes a blessing. I had a very excellent hearing, and I could hear the mother inside the house. She did not know that I could hear, but even though I was outside, I could hear she's saying to her children, "Shh, be quiet, don't make any noise. Don't make me, shh, be quiet." And I knocked the second time. And then I went home. I came the following week. And the same thing happened. So I didn't come back. I moved on because there were other families that I was asking for Bible studies. I used to give at that time 60 Bible study for six people every week. and is still going to school at the time. So I didn't have much time to waste, so I move on. I became a pastor later on, and many years later, one day, out of nowhere, I received a phone call, and it was that mother. She was crying on the phone. Says, "Pastor, Pastor, this is," and then she said her name. "I need your help. I need your help, Pastor. My son beat me. And I am not very happy to say what I did, but I have to because it was what I felt that I need to say at that moment." I said, "Dear sister, I went to your house. I didn't have much time, but I went to your house. Hello? I hope everybody can hear me. Hello, everybody. I'm back. Unfortunately, there was a technical problem here with our phone, and we are back. Sorry for the interruption.
Unmuted. Muted.
As I was saying, when I receive a phone call from her, she told me, "Pastor, my son is beating me up." And I have to say to her, "My dear sister, I wish I could help you. I didn't have enough time, but I went to your house to try to bring God to your home, to bring God to your life, so you could share it with your children, so you could raise your boy to become a man of God. There's nothing I can do now because he's a man. I know you chose something else in your life instead of the Bible studies. And today, there's nothing else I can do. Now is the time that only the police can help you in this situation. I can't. It is very sad what happened to that family. But eventually, 2 years later, I heard good news. It looks like the problems were resolved. And she decided finally to dedicate her life to Christ. And she was baptized, and I have the privilege to baptize her. So I'd like to ask you, my brothers and sisters, this is the time for you, the mothers, to spend time with your child. Teach them. If the TV is on, turn off the TV. Turn off the iPhone, the iPad. Spend more time with your child. I know that you may be tired because you go out and work also, and you come home, you need some relaxing time, you need to rest. But remember, it's better for you not to rest now, as I said, and rest later, than to be not involved with your child now and have all the headaches later. I am calling God today and ask God to bless each mother that are listening to this message. I hope that God, as God calls you today, that you will hear his voice as Samuel heard his voice, and that God blesses you and makes you an instrument to bless your family today. If you want to make this a very special Mother's Day, make this a day when you commit your life to be a godly mother, a godly Emma. I pray that you will hear his voice very clearly in your heart. I pray that you will commit your life today for him, that you commit your home, that you commit your interests, that you commit your plans, your future, that you recognize the blessing, the power that the Lord has given to you, so that you may reflect the image of God as you teach your child about how great he is or she is, because she is He is a gift from God. I'd like to take a pause at this moment to thank God for all the mothers that we have in our church. Life in the church, it is not as meaningful if we did not have the wonderful examples of our mothers, our godly mothers that we have in our church. We ask God to bless you and to give you the strength to be what God asks you to be a Hannah of today, Hannah of today. May God give you the power to be the mother instead of just a body for your child. Don't be afraid to discipline your child. And I say discipline, I don't mean punishing, I mean instructing your child. Guide your child on the right path, and your child will be always walking beside you. Forget about teaching him or her to walk in the right path. And a few years from now, you will not even know where or she is. So if you want your child to walk always beside you until Jesus Christ comes, teach them the way. Live in the way. And they will always know where to go. God bless you, mothers. This is our sincere prayer for all of you. In the name of Christ, we ask those blessings upon you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and has mercy on you. May God give you the power to represent him well in the life of your child. We ask those blessings in the name of Christ to all of you mothers. Thank you for being part of our church. Amen.